Have you ever heard the name Frank Abagnale Jr.? If you are a big fan of movies or a big fan of Leonardo DiCaprio, you definitely know who I'm talking about. He's the main figure behind the movie Catch Me If You Can. There's also a book. And what you might not know is that that movie is actually based on a true story, the true story of Frank Abagnale Jr. And he wrote the book on his memoirs and everything that he went through. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, I'll give you a quick synopsis so that you know what I'm talking about. There's this kid that he was about 17 years old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And he had a very tough family life. That's not the point of the story. But the thing is, he went off and he started fraudulently, unfortunately, but he started making his way through all these professions. He was a pilot, he was a lawyer, he was a doctor, and he was also a college professor. All of this while he was still 17, and he impersonated all these professions, and he was able to actually trick people into believing that he was whatever that profession was, a doctor, a lawyer, a professor, whatever. And so when he got caught, he was interviewed by the FBI and by all these officials, and they asked him specifically how he was able to impersonate a college professor, actually teach the course for a full semester and not get caught, because it was a very intricate course. It was something like macroeconomics or something like that. It was something very difficult to begin with. And I'm probably messing up what the subject was, but the point still remains. And when they asked him point blank, how did you manage to do that? How did you know all this information to be able to teach this course and have the students actually believe that you knew what you were talking about? And his answer is fascinating. He said, well, I just needed to stay one chapter ahead of the students. Now, if you're listening intently to what I just said, this could be life-altering, and it could really be life-changing. I know it was for me when I understood this concept of just being one chapter ahead of people that you're trying to reach and the people that you're teaching. The reason I start with this story is because I want us to have a really honest and direct conversation today around getting started, around jumping into things and actually working towards the goals that you've been maybe shying away from, or that you have had year after year after year, and every New Year's that's your resolution again, and every end of the year you're kicking yourself in the behind because you didn't achieve it. And I want us to talk today about how do we get started, and not just get started, but move in the direction of our goals in a way that is productive and positive. So if that sounds like a conversation that you might find some benefit in, stick around, because today we're talking about gettings.
Communication. Its effective use is the key to success in business, relationships, and life. Yet, we're never taught to use communication in a way that is effective, productive, and positive. The result? Interactions that lead to overwhelm, stress, discontent, lack of motivation, poor relationships, and the feeling of not being fully heard. We're engaged in a permanent tug of war, not the true flow of proper communication. Is there a way to fix this? Can the way we communicate truly be the key to achieving balance and success in all aspects of our life? Join me, Marcy Amaro, as we explore the answers to these and other communication, influence, connection, and success questions here on Sincerely Speaking.
So what is your dream? Some people call it BHAG, right? Big, hairy, audacious goal. What is that thing that you envision yourself doing and it gives you a combination of excitement and fear, where you feel like so accelerated and so happy, but at the same time you feel like you just want to vomit when you think about it? It's this one thing that you've been trying to do or dreaming of doing for the longest time, for as long as you can remember. And every time you think about getting started, something just stops you. Something just doesn't let you quite get there. And you try time and time, and every time you have every intention to actually achieve this goal, but for some reason you fall short, or for some reason you don't quite make it to where you wanted to make it. What is that for you? For some people, it might be starting their own business. I know that was my dream for a very long time. For some other people, it might be traveling to a certain spot, or losing a certain amount of weight, or finding the relationship of your life, or having children, or fixing and correcting a relationship with someone important in your life, a parent, a sibling, a child. It might be something related to your health, like maybe to quit smoking, or something related to just growing, like, I don't know, going and learning a new language. Whatever that big, audacious, incredibly risky goal is, the next question is, what is stopping you? For most of us, whatever that big dream is not something that we just thought of right now. It's something that has been living dormant inside of us for days, months, years, maybe even decades. And we haven't acted on it, or at least we haven't pursued it relentlessly enough. And we haven't seen the result that we envisioned. But why is that? Why is it that we have these visions and these dreams and we haven't really achieved them? I don't know how many of you have ever put together a vision board. I know I have. In fact, I have my screensaver in the computer that I'm using to record this right now is some of the images of the things that are in my 10-year vision, what I want to accomplish between now and 10 years from now. And I know that I am going to achieve all of these, but not because they're in the vision board. Because if you've had the same experience that I've had, I've created a million vision boards that I ended up throwing away without executing on, or without achieving any of the things on the board, or maybe one, but not all of them. But I know for a fact that this particular vision board is going to happen, all of it, every single item on it. And what makes the difference? Well, because now I understand what we're going to be talking about today, right? The first thing is understanding what is stopping us. For most of us, it boils down to one of three things, which in reality boils down to one, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the first one and the most common one is lack of clarity. If you're not completely and abundantly clear on where you're going, you're not going to get there. You know, it's like that line in Alice Through the Looking Glass in the book, and I believe it's in the movie too. But when Alice is trying to figure out which path to take, and the Cheshire Cat pops up, and she's like, I don't know which way to go. And he goes, well, where do you want to go? And she's like, well, I don't know. And he says, well, if you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. It's this idea that if you have no real clue as to where the destination is, then you can take any step, move in any direction, and it won't make any difference because you don't know where you want to end up, right? If you have a GPS, the first thing that it's going to ask you is what your destination is. If you don't plug in a destination, it's not going to be able to generate a route for you. It might show you what's around you, right? And it can track where you're going, but it won't lead you in any specific direction. So it's the same thing with our goals and our dreams, right? If we have a very vague goal, if we have a very ethereal idea of what we want to do, then getting there is not going to happen. I know that was my big problem when I was thinking about or dreaming about starting my business. It was like, okay, I want to start a business and I want to help people. Uh-huh. How many different ways are there to help people? At least as many as there are people, right? So it was very hard for me to trace a route or to lay out a plan to head towards that dream or to even come close to achieving that dream because there was no clear goal. It's like going over to a huge 20-acre field and say, okay, let's play football, but there's no goal. There's no end zone, right? We could be running the 20 acres and still not know whether we scored or not, still not know who's winning and who's not, still not know whether we're closer to what we want to achieve. So it's the same thing. If you have an unclear or very vague goal, then achieving it is going to become really elusive because you don't really know where you're going. You have no way of measuring or gauging whether you're getting closer or not. You have no way of seeing in a tangible way how much further you have to go in order to achieve that goal, or in which direction you need to go, or even whether the direction in which you're walking is the right direction. So the very first thing that holds most of us back boils down to not having enough clarity. The second thing that can hold us back is not having enough commitment or having conditional commitment, right? So once I have enough money, then I can start my business. Once I finish this cake, I can start my diet. Once I find someone that checks all these boxes, then I can think about falling in love. Once I whatever, then I will. Those are all conditions. When we have conditions in front of our commitments, then they're not really commitments. They're hopes and wishes that depend on something else happening before we even commit or think about moving forward with them. Anything that is a commitment has to be something that comes from inside of you, that depends solely on you, and that will come to fruition because of your commitment to make it happen. It's something that you have decided and determined that you're going to do, and you're not going to shy away from it no matter what happens, because you want to be in integrity, and being in integrity means that you finish what you start. And that has nothing to do with any conditions around you. And people train themselves or trick themselves into believing that there are conditions behind their commitments, when in reality it's the other way around. Your commitment will create the conditions, right? So if you are 100% and absolutely committed to starting your business, you will find the resources, you will find the time, you will find the money, you will find the mentors, you will find whatever you need in order to move forward. If you're 100% absolutely committed to losing the weight, you will find the resources, you will find whatever it is that you need. I am 5 feet tall, and I, at one point in my life, weighed about 200 pounds. That was heavily overweight, right? That was extremely overweight. Like, football players are 6'2 and 190 pounds, and I was 5 feet tall, a female, not a football player, and almost 200 pounds. And part of the reason why I kept that weight on is because I wasn't fully committed to everything that I knew it took to get things done. See, people talk about the willpower, right? It's not about willpower, it's about commitment. It's about deciding, okay, this ends and it ends today. And this is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it regardless of anything else. And this is the promise I'm making myself, and I'm keeping this promise to myself because, right? Because it's important to my health, because it's what's going to propel me to the next level. So when you are fully committed and you understand that you're not going to back away from that commitment, that you're keeping your promise to yourself, that you're doing whatever it takes to reach that goal, then you create the conditions, right? Like, nothing in my life changed to help me lose the weight except my commitment to losing the weight. When I was really committed in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit to making that change, then everything else fell into place. Like, I used to have all these reasons why losing weight didn't work for me, because my job didn't really allow me time to do certain things, because I didn't have the money to buy healthier food, because I didn't have the opportunity to go work out, because I couldn't afford a gym, because whatever. I had 1.5 million reasons. They were all stories and excuses. But once I committed, once I made that shift of, no, this is happening and it's happening now, then all of a sudden all the things fell into place. Everything came together and I lost the weight, and I've kept it off. For the most part, there's been a little bit fluctuation, but I've kept it off. All that to say that the second reason why most people don't achieve their goals or their dreams is because they have it backwards. They keep thinking, okay, once this happens, or once this is in place, or once the stars align, whatever it is that you're thinking, then I will be in a position to do this. Once the kids grow, then I can dedicate the time to build my business that was mine for a long time too. Once we have enough money saved up, once my husband or my spouse retires, once whatever, and we keep putting all these conditions behind making the real commitment, when in reality we should be committing first And then once the commitment is in place, then the conditions will fall into place and everything will come together as it should. And then the last reason why most of us don't achieve our big audacious goals is because of fear, right? It's just fear. And I will argue today that the other two reasons can actually be nested under the fear label. We don't have clarity because we're afraid to narrow things down too much or to have such a clear vision of what we want to see and then falling short of it. Or we're afraid that we will dream of this amazing, incredible future and we will be clear on what it is, only to find out that we don't have what it takes to get there, or only to feel unworthy of having it, right? We lack the commitment because we fear that we are not enough, or we fear that we will be judged, or we fear that the people around us won't support us, or we fear that we won't be accepted for the new person that we will become, or we fear that it's too big of a goal and it's going to take too much and it's going to be painful and it's going to be whatever, right? So I would argue that all of it falls under fear. And if we can identify and really pinpoint what it is that we're afraid of and find evidence against that fear, then we can start moving towards our goal, right? Then we can start setting clearer goals. Then we can start making the true commitments. Then we can start showing up and giving ourselves the results that we promised ourselves, right? We can start doing all these things, but it boils down to fear. So I would say that the very first thing we need to be clear on before we go into the steps on how to get started, and we will get to some more actionable things in a second, but before we get there, it's important for us to identify what is it exactly that we're afraid of? What is it exactly that we're avoiding? What is it exactly that you are so terrified of? And it probably isn't very conscious, so it might take some digging and some searching, right? But when you really take it down to its extreme form, right? Like imagine yourself in that vision. So whatever it is that you're dreaming. So you're dreaming of having a business that makes you a millionaire, for example. What is it that you see at the end that might cause you to become fearful? That makes that nut in your stomach tighten? That makes you feel like throwing up and giving in? That makes you question whether it's worth it or not. It might be that you fear that if you become a billionaire or a millionaire, that the people around you won't like you for you anymore. Or it might be that some might reject you because they might feel like they no longer know who you really are. It might be that you are afraid that it will bring out in you some things that you didn't know were there, right? But take it down to that most basic feeling of fear, of apprehension, and try to see where that comes from and what it boils down to. Because until you face that fear, until you can look it in the eye and say, you know what? You're there for a reason. All fear is there for a reason, and fear is not going to go away. I hate to break it to you. It's not. It's always going to be there because fear is our primitive selves, right? Way of keeping us safe. Fear is there to protect us. It's there to help us avoid potential danger. It's there to keep us alive. It's there to keep us whole. But the world is different from what our ancestors dealt with, and the mechanism remains pretty much the same. So it's up to us to retrain it and show it and say, okay, look, thank you. I know you're trying to protect me. I know you're trying to guard me. I know you're trying to keep me from harm, but I don't need you right now, and I'm going to do this anyway. And the more you step in and do the thing in spite of the fear, the more you teach your system, your body, your brain to not react in fear when you're faced with this thing and to be able to move forward. So in this sense, courage, which we're going to call courage, the opposite of fear. I call it faith, right? But either whether you call it faith or you call it courage, the opposite of fear is like a muscle that you build. The more you step into it and the more you work past it, the less you need to strain when you're trying to do something and it comes up, right? It's like if you go to the gym or if you're lifting weights of any kind, the first time you try to lift the weights, maybe you can lift 10, 15 pounds and you can do your repetitions and still your muscles are sore at the end. If you're consistent with it, the more you lift the weights and the more you do the training and the more you go through the circuits, the more weight you can add to your training. And then maybe in 2 months, 3 months, instead of 10 pounds, you're doing 50 or 60, right? And I'm obviously not a trainer, a physical trainer, but you know what I mean. So it builds with you. And it's the same thing with this ability to work past your fear and to do the thing in spite of feeling the fear, because the fear, again, is not going to go away. So if you're waiting for that moment in which you are fearless or without fear in order to act, hate to break it to you, you're never going to do it. It's like that conditional thing we talked about before, right? So don't wait to be done with the fear or to eliminate the fear or to get over the fear in order to move forward. It is actually the other way around. The more you act, the less the fear shows up. Make sense? All right. So now that we understand why we usually fall into not getting started or fall prey to the fear and not execute, now we can stop and talk about, okay, so how do we get started? What are the things that we actually can do? What are the actionable steps for us to get started? And not just get started, but finish and get things done. So three things that we need to do in order to get started and move towards completion of our goals. The first one is obvious from what we've talked about before. Well, they're all going to be obvious, but I just want to lay them out. It's make sure that you have clearly defined goals that you're working towards. Really clearly defined goal. Now, what do I mean by a clearly defined goal? You've heard of SMART goals probably at some point, right? Specific, measurable, attainable, and time-bound. It's important to have those elements in there. But the most important thing is there has to be something that you can use to gauge and to track your progress towards the goal, and something that will let you know when you actually achieved the goal. So there has to be some sort of number attached to it. Now, the number doesn't necessarily have to be dollar signs, which is where a lot of people get tripped up. But wait, my goal is about getting closer to my kids. What number do I put on that? Well, how do you know that you're getting closer? Or what things can you do to get closer to your kids? So is it about spending one-on-one time with them? How many times a month do you believe you need to spend one-on-one time with each of them in order to feel like you're moving towards a closer relationship with those kids? So within, and we're going to talk about the time in a second, but maybe it's once a week, right? So 4 one-on-one dates, or whatever you want to call them, events a month with each of your kids. Maybe that's too much, maybe it's 2, right? If it's with your spouse, so maybe 1 date night a month. If it's with your spouse, it could be something else, right? Like one moment of true intimacy at least once a week, or whatever it is for you. So you get to think through whatever that goal is, and if it's relational, what things can you track, check off, keep tabs on, that are going to help you know for sure that you're moving in the right direction, that you're getting closer to that goal, and that is going to make things progress in the direction of your dream. Does that make sense? So whatever it is that your goal is, you have to be able to have some sort of number that you can track or check off in order to know that you're making progress in the right direction, and in order also to know when you have actually reached your goal. And the other thing, you have to put a timeline to it. I have a mentor that calls it a runway. You know, if you're on a plane, you have a limited amount of space in that runway before you have to take off. If you don't take off when you reach the end of the runway, guess what's going to happen? You're going to crash, right? It's not going to be pretty. So you have a specific runway to complete your goal. And it's not that you're going to die if you don't get it within that time. But our bodies, our brains work through urgency. And urgency not in the sense of putting out fires, but urgency in the sense that of knowing that we don't have forever. We don't. We only have so many tomorrows. And no tomorrow is guaranteed. And I don't mean to get deep here, but you know it's true. Right? So instead of saying, oh, one day, one day is not a day of the week, and that's cliche, and everybody says it, but it's true. So instead of saying, one day I will, or one day I hope to, what specific day is that one day? Set a date. Make it a specific date in the calendar. It's not even in 6 months. It's not in a year. It's not by the end of the year. It's, okay, specific date, by December 31st, 2022. And if you can put an hour to that, even better. By 11:59 on December 31st, 2022, I am going to do whatever, or I will have whatever, okay? And that's the really key thing. It's putting a specific day, a date to it. Now, most of my mentors, who are amazing, they recommend that you stretch yourself to do more in less time. Because I don't know if that this has ever happened to you, but if you give yourself 2 hours to do something, you're going to go to the 2 hours, maybe to the 2.5 hours, right? But if you shrink it, you get it done in shorter time, right? They always, you've probably heard this example before, but if you're going on a vacation and you have a week before you go on vacation, but you have a month's worth of work, you're going to make sure that you get that month's worth of work in that week so that you can go on vacation and not think about it, right? Why is that? Because there's urgency behind it, because you know that your runway is short, because you know that your time is limited. So give yourself a shorter runway and attach to that a reason to make it work by then. And that will make it unstoppable and really powerful. So if your original timeline was by December 31st, then cut it in half. And instead of making it December 31st, make it September 31st or October 1st, somewhere along those lines, right? Like cut it in half and give yourself a reason, a very real reason why it needs to happen in that shorter timeline, right? Because if I make it by October 31st or by October 1st or September 31st, then I will have 2 more months to add to that, or then I can do this thing that I promised my kids, or then I can whatever, but find a real reason to make it urgent. A real reason. Does that make sense? So make sure that your goal is clearly defined, very specific. It should have a number attached to it that you can track and measure, and it should have a timeline that is a specific date, right? Actually, it must. It's not it should. It's a must. Second, train yourself to commit. And the reason I say train is because it is, like I said before, a muscle, right? That you're going to work at. And the more you do, the better you get at it. But train yourself that what you finish, what you start, you finish. And it might be as simple as repeating yourself. I finish what I start. I finish what I start. I finish what I start. I'll tell you a little story. A little while ago, actually a very short while ago, I put together an event. And it was a 2-day event with speakers invited. It was live. It had like all these little intricacies and all these little details. And I had put the date on the calendar months prior, like 2 or 3 months prior to the event. In fact, I put the date on the calendar at the beginning of the quarter, right? And we're now reaching the end of the quarter. So that's pretty much the timeline. But a bunch of things happened in between. I had graduations, family things, events, a bunch of things illness. I had a lot of things go on in between. And it got to the point where I was two weeks before the event. Now, if you've ever done an event with speakers, you know it takes time to find the speakers, to enter into a contract with the speakers, to prepare everything, to do all the technology, to do all these things. It takes a long time. Most events of this kind take anywhere between 45 and 60 days. So they all take over a month. But I had the date on my calendar. And one of my commitments, one of my integrity things, is that once I have it on the calendar, I don't change the date. I do everything I need to do, but if it's on the calendar, it's gonna happen, right? It is set in stone. I don't change dates. And there's a million reasons for that, but this is getting longer for a podcast of mine, so I'm going to wrap it up there and just say that that's an integrity of mine. And so I was now at 2 weeks prior to the event, and I didn't even have one speaker. Well, I had one, but that was it. So I said, okay, let's get the butt in gear and let's get moving. And I started DMing people and emailing people and calling people and trying to find, very long story short, in the span of 2 weeks, I found 7 speakers, got promotion done, put together all the tech, and did my event in 2 weeks. Now, was it the best event ever? Probably not. I mean, I made it a point to deliver as much value as possible during that time, and my speakers were amazing. But it could have been more better. It could have been better. It could have had more reach, is what I was thinking. And it could have impacted more people. But I still did it. And I will use that content to impact more people in other ways later. But the lesson here is, train yourself to be true to your commitments. To make a commitment and then keep it. Put it in your books, put it on your calendar, put it in your reminders, put it in wherever you need to put it. Make a big post-it, like one of those chart paper big post-it notes, and put it on every wall in your house. Figure out a way to hold yourself true. If your kids are anything like mine, if you tell your kid, I'm doing this by this date, they are going to hold you to the fire, and they're going to make sure that you do what you said you would do. So make sure that you are setting yourself up for success by training yourself to commit and to keep your commitments to yourself. If you promise yourself, be true to yourself. The more you allow yourself to disappoint yourself, the harder it's going to be for you to be trusted by others, or for you to trust that you deserve, that you can get to whatever your goal is. So train yourself to commit by setting dates for important things. Put them on the calendar. Once they're on the calendar, they are non-negotiable. They're going to happen. And in imperfect action, just do whatever you promised yourself you would do. And then finally, take it one step at a time. Don't make your goal bigger than it needs to be, right? Don't make your goal bigger or more complicated than it needs to be. Every big goal is going to have several steps to it. Everyone. If it's a big, audacious goal, it is going to have steps that lead up to whatever that success looks like, right? So break it down. Sit down with a piece of paper, write your goal at the top, and write down everything that you can think of that needs to get done in order for that to happen. Once you have all the steps written down, then organize them by priority order. What needs to happen first? What gets to happen second? What can wait until a little bit later? And label them, right? 1, 2, and 3. Just those. Don't go trying to number every little thing. Like, this needs to go first and then this is second. No. Out of all these things, what needs to happen almost instantly within the next 24 to 48 hours? That's a number one. What gets to wait until like 9 to 14, 15 days from now? What gets to happen after that, right? That's 1, 2, and 3. That's it. And then start with your ones. Prioritize your ones. Put them in your calendar. Put them in your planner. Put them on your to-do list, whatever works for you. And get started. I would recommend 3 at a time. What are the first 3 things that I get to do? That I can do now, before I'm done with the day? What are the next 3 things that I can do tomorrow? And if you finish those early, celebrate, but pick the next 3. Don't stop. And if you take it one thing at a time, just focus. This is the first thing. I'm not moving to anything else until this is done. You will be amazed how quickly your goal will become a reality. So again, in order to get started and move towards your goal, the very first thing is make sure that your goal is so clearly defined that you can not just envision it, but track it, and that you have dates attached to it. Second, train yourself to be committed to your goal. Nothing's going to determine it. You finish what you start, and you're taking action. Be perfect. Massive action. Every single day. And third, take it one step at a time. Don't overload yourself by trying to think about everything that needs to get done. If you're climbing a huge step, a huge set of steps, like, I don't know, to a Capitol building or step on that one. Once you're there, then you think about the next one. And very often, if the ladder is too high or there are too many steps to it, you won't see the last one. But that's fine. You just need to see the one right in front of you and focus on that one. And once that one's done, go to the next one. And you will see how your goals start getting done and how your life keeps moving in the direction of your dreams.
I want to sincerely thank you for spending this time with me today. I know you have a million things you could be doing, so I appreciate you tuning in. If you have found value in this conversation, please share it with others. And as a thank you, I'd like to invite you to download a free copy of my Tough Talks checklist, which will walk you through how to transform even the most difficult conversations into tools for connection, respect, and collaboration. Simply visit marciamaro.com for details. Until next time, I'm Marcia Amaro, and this has been Sincerely Speaking.